Welcome, and thank you for joining us on our This Week in State Tax podcast. My name is Harley Duncan, and I'm with the state and local team in KPMG's Washington National Tax. On this podcast, we are going to be discussing recent legislation in Washington State that imposes the retail sales tax on several previously excluded services, effective October 1, 2025. The specific services on which tax is now imposed include advertising, custom software development, custom website development, and a few others. To assist in the implementation of this somewhat less than simple legislation, the Washington Department of Revenue recently issued interim guidance statements with a number of examples for each service and covering topics such as what's taxable and what's not, the application of sourcing rules, and the possible application of other concepts such as sales for resale, multiple points of use, and the like. An important point to listeners, it seems to me, is that a taxpayer may rely on the interim guidance that's been issued for purposes of compliance until the department promulgates some permanent guidance that would supplant it. Because of the volume of the information involved, we're planning to do three podcasts. This edition will cover the taxation of advertising services. Our second one will address what we know about the imposition of tax on the sale of custom software, custom website development, and a range of other services named information technology services. In our final episode, we're going to talk about the taxation of temporary staffing, security services, and live presentations. Our tour guides on this journey will be Michelle Baszler and Alex Lowe, our Seattle-based State Tax Resource Network specialists for retail sales tax matters in Washington. Together, Michelle and Alex bring over 40 years' experience in Washington taxes to the table. We are more than happy that we have them as we try to help you navigate what the Evergreen State Legislature hath wrought. Just to refresh your memory, our State Tax Resource Network consists of KPMG professionals in each state with in-depth knowledge of the law and procedure in their respective states, as well as having key working relationships with tax authority professionals in the state. Alex, let's start with you on some of the basics about advertising. What is the new legislation that's enrolled Senate Substitute Bill 5814 for those dying to pour through the actual text? What does it say about advertising, what's taxable, and maybe more importantly, what's not taxable advertising? And are there any takeaways from the interim guidance that are particularly helpful in understanding how the department intends to apply the statute?
The effect of the recent legislation and what we've learned from the issued guidance is that all online digital advertising activities, or what our listeners may think of as internet advertising activities, have become subject to sales tax as of October 1st. The specific language within the legislation itself actually broadly enumerates all forms of advertising activities as subject to sales tax, but then provides a long list of exclusions to effectively only leave online advertising as taxable. The specifically enumerated list of exclusions that they've included would include newspaper, printing, publishing, radio, TV, and physical advertisements such as billboards, signage, in-store displays. Maybe a point of note for the TV advertising exclusion, that's limited to your classic standard television as opposed to online streaming TV services, which are still left as taxable, considered to be digital advertising. So what you have left after that list of exclusions effectively leaves simply digital advertising services. Within the confines of digital advertising, the legislation does cast a broad net in that remaining small pond of digital advertising with a somewhat expansive definition of what constitutes digital advertising. Specifically, in addition to taxing the creation and dissemination of digital advertising, there are several adjacent connected activities to digital advertising that are enumerated as included within the definition. In particular, I would note that services related to online referrals, search engine marketing, lead generation, optimization, web campaign planning, the acquisition of advertising space in the internet media, and the monitoring and evaluation of website traffic for purposes of determining the effectiveness of a digital advertising campaign are all included within the definition of digital advertising services. So certainly not just limited to the actual creation and provisioning of the digital ad itself, but all of the associated planning, targeting, campaign management, and analytics associated with the digital advertising are deemed to be taxable.
That's interesting and seems a bit risky to me, I guess, based on what we've seen in the state of Maryland, where they imposed a tax specifically on digital advertising. And it's been the subject of litigation since it was enacted. I believe it was 2021. Did the legislature make any provisions for what happens if there is litigation or there are challenges to this, or what's been the nature of any discussion in Washington State, as I'm certain there probably has been to some degree anyway?
Yeah, that's a great point, Harley. And as far as the potential challenging of the legislation, certainly right when it was passed, there was a lot of speculation that there would be lawsuits filed. And it seems like the law itself is inviting challenge under the Internet Tax Freedom Act. And we did hear, at least as of last month, that there has been action taken. There has been a legal challenge filed by Comcast relating to the new law in Washington.
I suspect we haven't heard the last of can they do this, but in the meantime, the department is moving forward with the implementation. So let's shift over to some discussion of that. Thanks, Alex. So Michelle, let's turn to you. It seemed to me that one of the hardest things, if I go back to my experience in 1983 with the Florida experiment in taxing services under Governor Martinez, is determining where the sale takes place or how to source that transaction. Especially given the focus here on digital advertising, that would seem not to be a simple matter. I didn't find much in the legislation, so what do we know about sourcing advertising in Washington from the interim guidance that's been issued?
The department's interim guidance on advertising does provide some help on sourcing. So in general, retail services are sourced to where the services are received by the purchaser, and received is defined by the location where the purchaser first uses the service. But until the interim guidance was issued, it wasn't really clear to us where digital advertising is first used. The guidance states that advertising services are first used where the advertising services are disseminated. So that would be where the users or the customers viewing the advertising are actually looking at that advertisement. So it turns out that advertising can be first used in a number of different locations. The location of dissemination can be determined using a variety of different methods, can be instructions provided by the purchaser, can be actual location of the ad placement, could be IP addresses, whatever data the seller and the purchaser are able to come up with. But in situations where advertising services are not disseminated by the seller, so for instance, where the services are creative in nature, and the seller is just providing perhaps a photograph or a brand, something like that, and they haven't been hired to disseminate the creative deliverable, those services are sourced to where the purchaser reviews that creative deliverable.
But for the bulk of the services, those that involve dissemination of the ad, it's going to be where the user, the recipient, interacts with that ad, where I first see it, right?
Right. So a purchaser of the advertising services may sit in Washington, but the use of that advertising service is going to be where the potential customer views that advertisement. And so that could very well be all over the U.S. or potentially, I guess, all over the world.
Well, that should work if I know where the user is at the time of the transaction. But what if I don't know? It seems to me in digital advertising especially, there are going to be situations in which neither the seller nor the purchaser is going to know the location of the user at the time the invoice is issued. Are there going to be ways to true up the actual amount owed if I overcollect or undercollect based on information I ultimately obtain? Are there going to be refunds, or what's the deal?
Yeah, the department seems to think that purchasers and sellers are going to be working together before the invoice is issued to determine the best allocation method. That's probably not actually what's going to happen in practice. So if the dissemination locations are not known at the time the invoice is issued, then the department's guidance is you would base the tax based on the address of the purchaser. So in a not known situation, you would just base it on the address of the purchaser. If the purchaser was in Washington, presumably would collect tax on 100%. We'll talk about potentials for getting out of that in the next section, I think. But if the purchaser was not located in Washington, then the seller would not have a sales tax collection obligation in a not known scenario. And then the purchaser may have a use tax obligation in Washington once they do become aware of where the advertising is actually viewed.
I see. The money may go uncollected, but at such time as the purchaser then knows that there was a taxable use in Washington State, they should come forward with the use tax. I think I understand the intent of the department there, but it seems to me that that's a bit much like getting an instruction from your caddy in golf. You know what you're supposed to do, but the challenge becomes in the execution. But some states in situations like this, Michelle, allow multiple points of use exemption certificates or direct pay permits that then both allow the buyer to assume the responsibility for allocating and sourcing the tax, and they relieve the seller from a collection obligation, thus putting the onus on the party to the transaction, it would seem to me anyway, in control of most of the information about how to properly source the sale. Does Washington make provision for either of these two vehicles, Michelle?
Yeah, they do. Customers can provide a direct pay permit. Historically, we haven't seen companies make much use of the direct pay permit program, but that does seem to be changing, or where some companies applying for and getting direct pay permits, I think, is a direct result of this legislation. And if the advertising services qualify as a digital automated service, which we think for the most part, any taxable advertising is likely to qualify as a digital automated service, then the department has indicated that they will allow purchasers to provide a multiple points of use certificate. Just as a reminder, a digital automated service is defined as any service transferred electronically that uses one or more software applications. So if the purchaser provides the seller with either a direct pay permit or an MPU certificate, as you say, the seller is relieved of any sales tax collection obligation, and then the purchaser will need to remit any use tax to Washington that is due. But as a reminder, the seller will still have a B&O tax obligation, so still has some sourcing issues to work out so they can report the correct amount of B&O tax. In addition, a reseller permit where the advertising is being resold would be allowed.
Thank you very much, Michelle. So, Alex, a couple other things that caught my eye in the interim guidance that I wonder if you could speak to. That was the resale of services that I think Michelle spoke to a bit, and then sales between members of affiliated groups. So what's up with these two things?
The guidance issued by the department has provided assurances that the concepts around resale arrangements and use of reseller permits will also apply to these newly enumerated taxable services in the same manner as they have historically applied for sales of physical products or TPP. Give an example in the context of digital advertising services as well. The resale concept can show up with ad agencies who are handling the full spectrum of marketing for companies and their brands, specifically within the overall marketing services the ad agencies may be running. That would include online advertising campaigns, whether purchasing digital advertising services from advertising platforms, and depending upon contracting arrangements there. The digital ad services are maybe purchased for resale by the ad agency for then subsequent sale to the company brands that the agency is providing its services to. As a brief aside as well, this resale concept is pertinent for Washington state taxes above and beyond just the sales tax implications. There is the B&O tax, gross receipts tax reporting in Washington, and to the extent it is a sale for resale, then the reporting classification for B&O tax purposes is the wholesaling classification as opposed to the retailing classification, with slight distinctions in the tax rates there. In addition to the resale exemption, Harley, I know you mentioned the new law's special treatment of sales between members of an affiliated group, which is a good item to highlight. The new legislation we're talking about today does have a special carve-out provision to exclude most of these newly enumerated taxable services from becoming subject to sales tax to the extent the sale is between members of an affiliated group. Maybe to understand the state's rationale for this affiliate sale carve-out, it's worth noting that Washington has a long history of not allowing combined or consolidated reporting. Instead, it requires every legal entity to be treated as a separate taxpayer for sales tax and Washington B&O tax purposes, which as a result, notably intercompany sales between affiliated entities are often reportable receipts or potentially taxable for B&O tax purposes. And in the concepts of intercompany sales, we certainly find that these intercompany revenue streams are often broad recharges that span all aspects of business operations and overhead, and thus technically representing the intercompany sale of many of these newly enumerated taxable business services that are targeted by the new law. Historically speaking, those intercompany sales for broad recharges and overhead items have generally been treated by Washington as exempt for sales tax purposes and reported under the service and other classification for B&O tax purposes. This included affiliate carve-out in the new legislation, from our standpoint, seems to kind of largely preserve that historical general treatment around the characterization of these intercompany sales that exist. Despite that overarching motivation, that certainly seems to be that there's going to be some implications and areas of unintended nuance that we're actively evaluating and could be part of some future legislative fixes that come down the road or points of contention that we're continuing to evaluate.
Well, thank you, Alex. Last question. If these sales of advertising services and others that we'll talk about in subsequent podcasts are taxable under the retail sales tax, does the B&O tax, which we aren't all as familiar as you all, still apply?
For sales of now taxable digital advertising services that aren't being resold yet, there's certainly a B&O tax reporting obligation as well. Specifically, to the extent the sale is taxable and is deemed to be a retail sale, it would be reported under the retailing B&O classification, which, in point of contrast, going back to the prior comment about resale arrangements, if a reseller permit applies, then the reporting is under the wholesaling classification, whereas otherwise the default for all other taxable sales where sales tax is collected or an MPU exemption or direct pay permit is provided is still deemed to be a retail sale for B&O tax purposes reported under the retailing classification.
Well, thank you to both of you for your participation in the podcast. We really appreciate it. We look forward to subsequent discussions over the next couple of weeks. Before we let you go, however, did you know that Washington is the only state that does not have an official motto? There is an unofficial one of Alki, which is from the language of the native Chinook people, used with early traders around the time of Lewis and Clark. Alki means by and by, or hope for the future, and it was often used in parting. So while it's not official, it did appear on the territorial seal, but was never adopted by the legislature as the official motto. For those of you interested in further information on the newly taxable services that were passed by the state legislature, KPMG has produced two SALT alerts on the Washington legislation. One when the bill was first passed in May, and then a second just recently released that addresses the interim guidance statements. Those alerts are available from the landing page for this podcast. Thank you for joining us, and please listen to our subsequent ones on the new legislation in the state of Washington. Until then, Elkai.